Pittsburgh's 100.1 FM and AM 1020. KDKA.
Halloween coming up. Trick or treat, depending on where you live, could be, boy, just about any time. It's going to be all over the place. Some will wait until next Tuesday to actually do it on the 31st. Others may be doing it this weekend. Some may even do it, you know, this weekend when it's not even dark outside, during the weekend daytime hours. But the important thing is to make certain that our kids are safe and that as they're headed out, we know that they're going to be okay. And joining us on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline is Dr. Thomas Kessler. Dr. Kessler is with MedExpress, where he is a family practice physician, and he has been a frequent contributor on the program. Doc, how are you? It's good to have you back on again.
I'm doing all right, Rick. Always a pleasure. You know, I love these radio consults of sorts.
It's an opportunity to see a lot of patients, more than what you could possibly see in your office in one day. You realize that, right?
Indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. So give us an idea. As parents are coming in, talking to you in your family practice, and as they're saying, hey, what are some of the things we need to think about? Some of them, you know, it might be the first time that they're taking a little one trick-or-treating. For others, they're old hat at this, and they've done it for a while, but perhaps can still use a refresher. What are the things that are coming up in your office right now?
Well, there are a couple of big things. You know, the first thing we got to realize, Halloween is a fun time, but there are definitely some health and safety issues out there that everyone needs to be aware of, particularly those who are parents of young children, because it kind of varies between the age of your children that you're taking out for trick-or-treating. You know, the first thing would be physical safety. You know, when they're out there trick-or-treating, roaming the streets of the community and neighborhood, you need to be able to avoid certain things such as distracted walking. You know, Rick, I don't know how much your listeners are paying for the cell phone rates. I was listening to your previous conversation, but they need to not be looking at the cell phones when they're walking their kids around the streets.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be a very important thing. You know, crossing the streets in groups and not individually running back and forth. That's important as well, particularly in the nighttime hours. You know, the sun's going down. You want to make sure you're using a flashlight, using reflective clothing, reflective tape, glow sticks, things like that. You can make it fun. But you got to, you know, be able to make it safe as well. Particularly, parents should accompany younger children. I know my parents always did when I was younger. But older children should always travel in groups and use a buddy system. So that's the very first thing is physical safety.
Yeah, you've got to remember those things. And even though kids are going to say, well, Mom, it's okay. But, Tommy doesn't have to go with somebody. He's just going out. That doesn't mean that just because somebody else says that's what it is going to be, doesn't mean that you can't still hang back 100 yards and keep your eyeballs on what's going on, right?
That's absolutely correct. You know, Tommy's parents might have different rules, but Tommy might also have some food allergies.
Sure.
Brings us up to the next issue here, and that is food safety. You know, 1 in 13 kids have food allergies or intolerances, and that becomes a huge issue when it becomes trick-or-treat time, Halloween time. The number one thing is that parents should examine food labels for anything their child may be allergic to. No consumption should be taken of that food until they're back at home. And most importantly for parents, while they are examining that food, you know, maybe they sneak a Kit Kat from the stash every now and then. That's you know, important thing for parents, you know.
Sure. Make sure you're a food tester for the queen, right? It's the same kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
That's what I'm looking forward to this Halloween season.
Yeah, right.
With food safety, too, you know, with that food allergy, there actually is a national program out there called the Teal Pumpkin Project. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting idea, and that is basically you have a painted teal or green pumpkin on your front porch, signifying that there are allergy-friendly treats and non-food stuff at this stop. So that can include stickers, glow sticks, spider rings are always fun, vampire fangs, things like that. The Teal Pumpkin Project, I recommend that to your listeners to look out for short.
Well, that is something that we didn't have as our kids were growing up, but having one son who has a peanut allergy, and you know full well that there are a million different things that even if they don't, for instance, M&Ms, right? They make a peanut M&M, they make a plain. M&M even says on the wrapper, hey, this has been manufactured in a place where there are peanuts. So depending on, you know, basically your level of sensitivity, you may not even want to have your kids have plain M&Ms, right?
No question about that. You know, if your food is made in an area where certain food allergy exists, even there could be definitely a risk, particularly when it's something as significant as a peanut or nut allergy, no question about that. So parents have to be very vigilant when it comes to allergies and food safeties. Also knowing the symptoms of an allergic reaction as well. You know, your child's voice may become hoarse or squeaky. They may develop hives or rashes, may even develop abdominal pain. And it's pertinent to get medical attention as quickly as you can if something like that occurs.
And even having an EpiPen, particularly if you know that there is an allergen there, you really need to make sure you've got one of those. Because it doesn't do you any good if it's sitting at home in your purse and you're out
trick-or-treating. Have it ready and on the standby.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. So Dr. Kessler joining us from MedExpress. He is a family practice physician and talking to us about trick-or-treat and safety. You know, even before you go out, you were talking about safety out there on the streets. And you're talking about food issues and allergies and that kind of stuff. What about, you know, costumes and the material that's in costumes? What about things like face paint? Because more and more, it's not just a matter of buying a mask with a piece of elastic around the back that you put on your face. Now everybody wants you to paint your face. You may not know what's in that paint. So do you need to test that beforehand to make sure that you don't have some kind of reaction, or is that just being hyper sensitive about these things?
I would absolutely recommend testing any face paint, any new fabrics that they're putting on themselves, you know, during that particular night. Contact dermatitis, which is basically what your skin is coming in contact with and is having an allergic reaction to that substance, is one of the more common things that I see in my clinic day in and day out. It could be something as simple as, you know, an itchy rash. It could be something that leads to more hypersensitivities and hives and things of that nature. It's a really important thing to make sure that your child is not having or could have an allergic reaction to what they're putting on their skin. So, you know, if it's a face paint, you know, you take a dab of that paint and do a test run maybe the night or so before on part of their skin. You know, if it's a fabric, you do something similar to that the night or so before. But that's going to be a very important thing as well. Contact dermatitis, see it all the time.
Do you see that the face is more sensitive to things than maybe your arm or maybe a section of your back or your leg? I mean, do you need to be concerned that, okay, it didn't show up on my leg, but that doesn't mean that you won't have an issue on your face? Or is that just, again, being hypercritical?
You know, the face is certainly more sensitive than other areas of the body, for sure. Yeah. You know, it's something that even when it comes to treating these contact dermatitis, you know, if it's on like your hand or your leg or your arm, you can use certain types of high potency steroid creams. Mm-hmm. But on the face, you don't want to do that because it's more sensitive as is. Right. So it's definitely a more sensitive area that would be more at risk of having a contact dermatitis occur.
How much are you seeing kids that have maybe a mask on as opposed to face paint? They don't see very well. They trip, they fall, and they've got a wrist injury or they've got a knee injury or, you know, twist an ankle coming up. Are you seeing those sorts of things the day after or 2 days after Halloween?
Yeah, it's definitely something that I've seen in the past and something that I anticipate seeing the day or so after Halloween this year for sure. You know, some of these masks can very much hinder your vision and your acuity. And with these kids, you know, running back and forth and having a great time, they're oftentimes not paying great attention as is, even if they had a non-impaired, you know, vision, if you will. I've definitely seen that. And so having musculoskeletal injuries is something that I'm sure is going to be increasing the day after Halloween as well.
Well, after seeing some of the photos of your backyard, I'm guessing that you're planning on going as a landscape architect this year. Is that your costume for the year?
Yeah, you know, we just got the backyard finished. It looks great, and I can't wait for grass to start growing again because it took me 5 years to start it growing. So.
I know. Well, it looks great, and I really appreciate you jumping on here and letting us know some of the things to look out for those little ghosts and goblins as they're headed out and about this year. And we look forward to hearing from you again real soon. It's always good to have you on.
Absolutely, Rick. Love it. One more thing I'll say, get your flu shot. Halloween season being the peak of the fall season, the best way to stay out of my office. Get that flu shot.
And is there an issue for younger kids getting flu shots? What's the minimum age that you're looking at?
Yeah, so actually you can get your flu shot pretty early on. You just have to have, you know, when you're 6 months to a year old, you have to get a half a flu shot and then get the other half later on in the year. So that's the only difference there. And for the elderly folk out there, they have a stronger flu shot as well that's recommended for them. That would be what they should get.
So basically you just spread it out that you get part of it now, part of it later for little ones. And
for your first one, for the first shot.
First time around. Good stuff. All right. TJ, thanks a million.
Absolutely right.
Yep. Always good to have him on. Dr. Thomas Kessler joining us from MedExpress, where he's a family practice physician. Great practices there for Halloween.